Glory to God. I want to read a few scriptures to give some context to what I want to talk about. And I want you to be able to follow along with me. Last Sunday I went home and I put together the word for the week. And some of you have heard it or on Facebook, or you called in on last Monday. And the word for the week was in the form of a question. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Do you not know? Have you not heard? And even having done that brief word, which was about 5 minutes long, it just continued to resonate with me throughout the day and even throughout the week. And I found myself starting to read some other things that caused me to think I need to really hone in on this thought, if just for this message today, as an encouragement to all of us. So you'll see in your handout here, we don't really do bulletins now, but for your notes, to take notes, that the scripture on the front says, do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Now, right before that, the prophet is posing, or he's speaking to questions that are being posed to God. Isaiah 40, verse 27, it says, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, that my way is hidden from the Lord, and the injustice or the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? You see, what they were dealing with is things in their own mind seemingly not to add up. It's not coming together for them. And so they find themselves now they're down, they're doubting. They're struggling with their reality while still trying to hold on to what God has said he would do. But something shifts for them that causes them to begin to grumble, murmur, or even kind of complain. And you see that in their saying, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God. What they're saying is, God is not paying attention to me. God is not paying attention to my situation. And I want to tell you that when we go that direction, it sets us up to miss not what God is going to do, but what God is doing. As I was reading these particular thoughts that lead into, do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. That scripture is saying that for those who yield themselves to God, even in the midst of the challenges, God's going to respond to you. God's going to bring to you the strength that you need. The thing that we don't want to do is find ourselves in the place where Jeremiah was in Jeremiah 15. I'm reading from Jeremiah 15, verse 19, the Amplified Bible. And this is how God has to address Jeremiah. He says, therefore, thus says the Lord, if you repent and give up this mistaken attitude of despair and self-pity, then I will restore to you a state of inner peace so that you may stand before me as my obedient representative. And if you separate the precious from the worthless, examining yourself and cleansing your heart from unwarranted doubt, or one version says unwarranted suspicions concerning my faithfulness, says you will become my spokesman. He's saying, I can't really do what I want to do in you and through you if you continue to doubt me. I can't really do what I plan to do. you won't really be able to see in the total fulfillment what I've already done if you live in this place of unwarranted suspicion concerning what God has purposed to do in your life, through your life, no matter what you're dealing with. That's why I wanted to sing that chorus. You've got to maintain joyful expectation. I said, I may not know the future, but I know who holds the future, and I know he's holding me. I may not know the future, but I know who has the future, and I know he's holding me. And so for the next few moments, I want to talk to you from this thought. Quit acting like you don't know and start living like you do. Thank you, Pastor Marisa. I got one clap back there and a few amens. Quit acting like you don't know and start living like you do. When we look in the scriptures and we look at how God dealt with the people of God, he continually kept bringing them into a place of understanding, bringing them into a place of reassuring them that he was not going to fail them, he was not going to forsake them, that whatever he said in his word, he was absolutely going to do it. As a matter of fact, he said, my word, when it's spoken, it's as good as done. My word will go forth, not return to me void, but accomplish that which I please and prosper whereunto the thing that I've sent it. Already done. Say already done. Already done. Say it again, already done. But there's something about our nature, and I'll say something about our nature that doesn't walk in the redemption of the cross that causes us to regress back into this place of doubt. Quit acting like you don't know and start living like you do. I'm talking about this place of faith that you and I operate out of, or supposed to operate out of. One of the things that Jesus did was he kept on working with the disciples and those that followed him to bring them into a place of faith. The scriptures speak over and over about you and I coming into a place of knowing God. Knowing God. The scripture says that the people knew God's acts, but Moses knew his ways. Which speaks of relationship. Say relationship. And one of the things that we're navigating through right now in the church, in the body of Christ, is that we have a lot of people that have religiously gone to church but never made the transition to relationship with God. Now I'm talking about even in this house. And it makes it challenging because then you wonder why things don't line up the way that they should. You see, religion doesn't produce a knowing. Only a relationship with God through Christ can do that. That's why some years ago I wrote this statement on the deception of religion. As a matter of fact, would you look up there on, is it up there on the computer? On one of the, see if it's up there in some of the map, is there map material up there? Anyway, find that for me. You should have it up there. But I want to say this. Religion and religious activity, just going to church, doesn't produce a knowing. The relationship has to be cultivated to bring us into a place where we're no longer, see, once you know that you know, you quit acting like you don't know and you just live your life because you do know. I'm talking about the times when we can go and vacillate back and forth out of this place of faith and doubt. So this is the statement. The deception of religion is that it has no real effect on the heart. It is purely an external exercise that gives the appearance of a relationship with God that does not really exist. True worship can only come from the heart. There is no real meaningful relationship without the heart being involved. The deception of religion is that it has no real effect on the heart. It only gives the appearance that there's a relationship with God, meaning that every week you get up and you go to church. But it doesn't mean that you know God. It doesn't mean that we really know him. It doesn't mean that we know his word. And yet I submit to you, those of you that have walked with God, that in this hour, he's saying, I need you to live the life because you know. Quit acting like you don't know. What do I mean? I mean, quit acting like the other folk when stuff happens. Quit acting like the other folk when things get tight. That's why he's been talking to us about being in this unshakable kingdom. How do you process through needs and concerns that we all have? For you, quit acting like you don't know. And if you really don't know, you need to quit faking it. And say, I really don't know. I really don't have the relationship. I got all the language down. But you really don't have the relationship aspect of it down. The challenge that the world is facing right now is that there is a church in the earth, but they're acting like they don't know. Part of the challenge is some of them don't. The other challenge is some of us need to step up. Quit acting like you don't know and start living like you do. Because you do know. You do know that God is faithful. You do know that God is a healer. You do know that God is a sustainer. You do know that God is a redeemer. You do know that God, you fill in the blank. You know, you know, you know. You know that he's a restorer. You know. Quit acting like you don't know. And if you really don't, then it's time to make some changes. It's time to make some changes. Jesus found himself, I think there were times when Jesus kind of got frustrated with the disciples as he's teaching them. In Mark, the 8th chapter, is one of the chapters we looked at where Jesus was teaching them principles of faith. In Mark 8, verse 11, it says this: the Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. Leaving them, he embarked, he went out to the other side. It says this: and they had forgotten to take bread. Now who's they? The disciples. They had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. Now look at this. And he was giving orders to them. Who was giving orders? Who was talking? Jesus. Stay with me now. Jesus is talking to them and he's saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. It says this: they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. Say disconnect. It says, and Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up? They said to him, 12. When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to him, 7. And he was saying to them, do you not yet understand? Do you not yet understand? Now, listen to me. I'm talking about now, quit acting like you don't know and live. Start living like you do. Because here's the thing. Now, Jesus just dealt with the Pharisees. They get in the boat. They're heading out. Now, Jesus is giving them a lesson. He's talking to them, just like I'm talking to you right now. But here's the dynamic. Somebody in the boat, or somebody's in the boat, allowed their need to distract them, or their perceived need to distract them from what Jesus was saying. Jesus is talking to them about one thing. They over here talking about we ain't got no food. Jesus is talking to you about one thing, and you over here talking about. The object lesson is whatever Jesus is focused on, that's what we focus on. That's what you focus on. If the word of God says, and it does says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, guess what? Know that. How many of you know that? I'm asking you a question. How many of you know that? You know that. Quit acting like you don't know it. Start living like you do. Meaning, if God took care of you last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, all your life, don't think he's going to bail out on you right now. Quit acting like you don't know. You got to arrive in the place like David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. You see, I know some things about God. I know some. How many of you can say, I know some things? I know some things. I know some things. I know some things. And so you arrive in the place that you don't allow yourself. You don't allow your perceived need to distract you from what the Lord is saying and what he's doing. That's why in Matthew 6 and 33, Jesus just made it clear. He said, look, if the birds don't have to worry about what they're going to eat, the flowers are beautiful and they don't toil. He says, listen, you ain't got to concern yourself with anything. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all else will be added unto you. Meaning, I got you. I got you. I'm taking care of you. When I was riding back last night, we were in Columbus for a couple of gatherings. We were coming back, and my study habits are probably maybe like some others. I don't know, but I just listen all the time. And so I'm riding back, and I'm praying, and we're having some conversation, but I'm praying. And then all of a sudden, I'm riding behind a truck. I don't know what the truck was delivering. Didn't matter what the truck was delivering. But I saw this statement on the truck. When I saw the statement on the truck, I just knew. I said, that's a good word. Right? I said, God, I received that word for myself right now. And then I was driving, so I just spoke it into my phone. And it was just three words. It said, consider it solved. Consider it solved. I was like, my God, I'm going to fill in every blank I can with that. Everything, every question I have, everything, I consider it solved. Oh, consider it solved. Consider it solved. What is going on in your world right now that has you kind of struggling, has you kind of wondering, has you kind of doubting? See, the people of God, they went through that over and over and over. As a matter of fact, in the early church, they dealt with that. But we just said, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus said, ask anything in my name and I will do it. Some of you right now, you're praying into and believing and you're trusting for some things. And the word of the Lord to you is, consider it solved. Consider it solved. Consider, I'm prophesying now. Consider it solved. Consider it solved. Consider it solved. There's this place of knowing that the Father has purpose for you and I to come into. Religious activity doesn't produce it. You come into a place of knowing, one, by making a conscious effort, listen to me now, by making a conscious effort to acknowledge God as your source in everything in your world. You come into a place of knowing. Why? Because then as it unfolds, you know who did it. And you're giving credit to whom credit is due. Secondly, you can come into the place of knowing as you find that place of rest and you find that place of peace. You come into the place of knowing as you begin to find the place of rest and the place of peace. One of the things that's not a discipline for a lot of believers, but I want to encourage you, if it's not a discipline, that you change and make it a discipline. And that is your personal time, your quiet time with God. Your personal time, your quiet time with God. Where you cut off the TV, you mute the cell phone, put it to the side, get off the computer, and just get quiet. And begin to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Begin to minister to you. Over the course of our journey in life, there's so many times when for me, it was the pull away, it was the getaway that brought me into a place of peace and a place of knowing. And I've learned to make it a discipline. For me now, it can be as simple as just getting in my car with a cup of coffee, nothing playing, and just riding and talking to the Lord. Or it may be in my favorite chair, or it may be just in the room laying on the bed, just quiet, just still. There are times when we hit moments, listen to me, there are times when we hit moments in our lives that we don't know. It's okay, because the one who does know has you. And when that happens, one of the models we see is David at Ziklag. It'll be 1 Samuel 30. David's at Ziklag. And in that devastating moment, come back, town's burned up, family taken captive, and everybody's upset and they're blaming David. And what does David do? He doesn't have a pity party. He doesn't act like he don't know. But because of the disciplines in his relationship, come on, say relationship. Not his religious activity, but because now this guy David, who's grown, is the same David that was playing his worship music out with the sheep. His times of intimacy with God produced a knowing on the inside of him that allowed him in one of the most dire situations. So listen to me, because every now and then something hits our world that wants to shake it. But that's where you have to remind yourself, I am part of the unshakable kingdom. So while my flesh may be trying to adjust to this, my spirit man is solid. And the word says that David got to himself. Says he got to himself and he began to pray. I believe he began to worship. And he began to remind himself of all the things that God had done for him. All the ways God had saved him and protected him. Yes, see, David wasn't going to act like he don't know. Don't act like you don't know. Start living like you do. All David recognized is this is just another opportunity for God to be glorified. Now, I don't know how he's going to do it, but that's not my part. My part is this posture that I take right now. And he gets quiet and he says, bring me the ephod, the priestly garment. He put that garment on and then he says, shall I pursue? And God says, pursue, for surely you will recover all. The fact that you and I don't know everything is not the precursor to stopping and doubting. You got to know, listen to me, and I'm almost done. You must settle this. If you don't hear anything else for today, you need to settle this. Your purpose and destiny will not come into manifestation without your willingness to contend for it and keep contending until it becomes reality. Yeah. That bakery business, Jessica, it seems to get put on hold. Life has a way of putting things on hold. But I'm prophesying to you now. God's put in your hands something that He has uniquely given you that will come to pass. Quit acting like you don't know. Start living like you do. Contend for it. Fight for it. And it will happen. It will happen. I prophesy to your daughter. It will happen. The greatest days for you and your family are ahead of you. God has placed in you that which is to break some things that have been generational. But you've got to know it. You've got to know it. You've got to know it. I've got to know it. We've got to know it. Last point I want to make for today is this. In Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, it says this. I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. So lastly, you must know that you have a calling in order to see what it is. You must know that you have a calling in order to see what it is. There should be a defining moment that identifies your purpose for which you were born. This journey is not one of just getting saved and going to heaven. There is treasure, purpose, and destiny on the inside of you. And you need to quit acting like you don't know and start living like you do. You may not have all the details about it, but I'm telling you, there's something on the inside of me that God has called me to do. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I am going to live my life until it comes into manifestation. Once you begin to live your life that way, I'm talking about now, you're living your life out of this place of knowing, even though you may not know all the details. I'm telling you, I know this for a fact. People will begin to look at you and they'll know there's something about you. They may not know what it is, but there's something special about you. There's something significant about you. You're walking a grocery store, you're walking a place of business, and they'll look at you. They may think you're the owner of the place just because you have this sense of knowing on you as to whose you are, who you are, and that there's calling on your life. I'm talking about a shift in the way you think about your life, that you stop living like you don't know and start living like you do. So often we allow ourselves to be defined by our professions, by our vocation. And when that's over, we're lost. And the reason why we're lost is because we never got the glimpse of the other parts of you not connected to who you became as a result of whatever. Is that making sense to you? So you may have had your season with this company. You may have had your season in this job. You may have had your season in this vocation. You may have had your season in this. But that is not the sum total for which you were born. I know I got to stop. It's 1 o'clock. And sometimes we can live our entire lives having been shaped by someone else's or something else's intentions that were way beneath what God created you for. I'm just trying to get you to see how great you are because of the one who lives on the inside of you. I applaud all of you who've worked 30, 40 years in an education or a company and then retired or whatever. God bless you. That's a great testimony. But that's not all there is. What's the next you that he wants to unfold? Because that's what he wants to show you, and that's what he wants to bring forth in this season. I hear people say, you know, my job is over. I don't know what I'm going to do now. Quit acting like you don't know and start living like you do. What do I mean? I mean, life happens, things happen, shifts happen. And when they do, you say, God, I thank you because this job, this situation, it never was my source. It's always been you. And so I believe that you have something else in store for me. I don't know what it is, but I know you're about to do something. I know. I'm not going to live my life like those who got laid off along with me who's saying, now I don't know what I'm going to do. No, I ain't going to live like that. No, I'm not going to live like that. Because you are my source. I may not know the details, but I got joyful expectation. I have joyful expectation because I know you.